For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Spiritual Warfare, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
According to one of the early books of the Apocrypha written about the year 200, the Acts of Paul, it's called, in Teculum, I think it is. It does describe Paul, and it said he was, you know, a short little fellow, heavy eyebrows that came together, a hooked nose, and sort of bantied bull legs, you know, bull-legged and sort of bantied little knees, knobby knees, and you know, just not much to look at. And that's what they were saying in Corinth. Hey, this guy's not much to look at, you know, but he gets away, and man, he becomes dynamic and powerful. You know, he's the 97-pound weakling. He gets away, you know, and he's an atlas. So they were making these kind of accusations against Paul. And so he says, I beseech you by the gentleness and the meekness of Christ, who in presence I'm base among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you. I beseech you, twice now, the beseeching. Not demanding, but just appealing to them, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as though we walked according to the flesh. They were accusing Paul of walking according to the flesh. They were making all kinds of bitter accusations against him. And he's warning that when he comes, he doesn't want to really come down heavy on them. However, if the necessity is there, he will. For though he said we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we walk in the flesh, that is, we are in a body of flesh. However, our real warfares are not fleshly warfares. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual entities in high places. Our real battles, our real warfare are not physical battles. They are spiritual battles with these spirit entities that surround us, and there is spiritual warfare constantly going on. We do not and cannot imagine the extent to which this spiritual warfare is being waged in the universe around us. You remember when Daniel set his heart to seek the Lord in fasting and in prayer. And after 21 days, the angel came to Daniel and said, from the day you first called unto God, I was dispatched to bring you the answer. Below, the prince of Persia captured me and held me until finally Michael, that great prince, came and set me free. And now I'm come to reveal unto you those things that you desire to know of God. This great spiritual warfare that was going on, hindering the answer to Daniel's prayer for 21 days, as this angel dispatched from God was held and captured by the prince of Persia, by the powers and the spirit forces of darkness, and held until Michael came and delivered him. We are not really cognizant of the spiritual warfare that does go on in the universe around us. It would be well if we would be more sensitive to the fact that there is a spiritual warfare going on, and many times we get the flak of that spiritual warfare. The byproduct of it oftentimes are feelings that we really don't understand and can't really define. A feeling of heaviness, a feeling of depression, a feeling of discouragement, or a feeling of despair, despondency, a feeling of restlessness, just a feeling of agitation. These feelings can often result from the byproduct, really, of the spiritual warfare that is going on around us. There is a tremendous battle over the souls of men being waged by the Spirit of God and by Satan. That desire to control the mind and the soul of man. And many a time a person is in the midst of that conflict, as it is their soul that is in the balance. God's Spirit tugging, Satan holding on. Tremendous spiritual battles. And to be aware of them is vital for us as Christians if we're going to maintain a life of victory. One of our problems is that we do not always recognize when Satan is attacking. And quite often we're prone to just pass it off on just, you know, our own nature or our own just feelings. Or I just woke up this morning feeling horrible, you know, and I just get in these cranky moods sometimes. You're just going to have to forgive me and all. And we're not aware of the fact that we are under a spiritual attack. And because we're not aware of the fact that it is a spiritual attack against us, we just go on. Rather than standing against it and resisting it. For the Bible tells us if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But I've got to recognize that it is Satan's attack before I resist it. So there are really the three R's I call the spiritual victory. And the one is to recognize the source of the attack. This is the enemy at work. He's attacking me. Having recognized it, then I can deal with it by resisting it in the name of Jesus. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then the third key to victory is to rejoice in the victory of the Lord over the powers and the forces of darkness. And as you rejoice, you find the depression goes. You find that the irritation leaves and you begin to really feel victory in Christ. And what a difference the day becomes because you have taken that victory that is yours through Christ over this attack of the enemy against you. But too many times we just bow our head and we, you know, go on being battered and beaten, feeling lousy and don't know why. Complaining to God because things are going so horribly. Failing to recognize that it's actually a spiritual attack of Satan against you, against your home, against the family. And they can be manifested in so many ways. So we walk in the flesh, but we really don't war after the flesh. The warfare is a spiritual warfare. And for this spiritual warfare, it takes spiritual weapons. And God has provided us those spiritual weapons. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, therefore, recognizing that we're wrestling against these spirit forces and powers, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the works of the evil one. That you might stand against them. And he talks about the helmet of salvation. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The shield of faith, whereby we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then, having armed you completely, he then concludes by saying, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, let your requests be made known unto God. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of the spiritual warfare are spiritual weapons. The word of God, faith, prayer. And by these we come against the attacks of the enemy. And by these we can defeat the enemy. None of you as a child of God need to go on being harassed by Satan. You have the authority and the power through Jesus Christ to put the enemy to flight. And when you come against him in that victory of Christ that was wrought at Calvary, Satan must yield. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Our problem is that so often, rather than coming against the enemy with spiritual weapons, we come against him with the weapons of the flesh. You know, I'm going to conquer over this. I'm going to, you know, lift myself out of this depression. I'm going to, and we come with our own fleshly devices and schemes, rather than with the spiritual weapons that God has placed at our disposal. And so the fight goes on and on and on and on. And I live in a quasi-world, constantly battling, constantly being harassed and attacked by the enemy, because I'm trying in my flesh to ward off his power and his attacks against me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God pulling down the strongholds. And that's exactly what we can do through prayer, is pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Now, the area of the battlefield is in the imagination of man and in his thoughts. Satan battles you in your mind. The spiritual battles are waged in your mind. That's where Satan challenges God. Hath God said? Does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God see? And quite often we are deceived by Satan, thinking that we are getting by. God doesn't see. If God sees, then why didn't he do something about it? And because God doesn't strike, we think, well, we're getting by with it. And we've deceived ourselves into thinking that we are somehow getting by with our evil. It's going unnoticed by God. We seem to be prospering in our wickedness. But as the old adage goes, the wheels of justice grind slowly but exceedingly fine. And it'll come out. But in our minds, Satan will plant thoughts, ideas, fantasies. What do I do with them? Do I say, oh, I like that? You know, and I begin to fantasize and see myself in this experience. And I begin to go on in my mind and play with it. And oh, you know, it would be so good and I could be so happy and oh, it's so ideal, and you continue to fantasize. And Satan takes that imagination, that fantasy, and he uses it to trip you up. The law of metaphysics, the visualization. What do you desire? Put it in your mind. Put it before your mind. Write your goal on a piece of paper. Put it on your mirror. And when you shave in the morning, look at it. And just see yourself now in this position of power. See yourself in this position of authority. See yourself sitting behind the desk, president on the, you know. And as you are visualizing, your subconscious will take over and will begin to devise the methods and the means whereby your visualization can become an actualization. And so Satan works. You begin to visualize yourself in these things, doing these things. And your subconscious begins to develop the schemes and the methods whereby it becomes a reality. And suddenly you find yourself caught up in that which you really thought I would never do. But you see, you first of all did it in your mind. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever lusts after a woman in his heart." You see, there is where it starts, in the mind, in the fantasizing. You're already guilty. You're on the road. You're on the way. You've already in your mind done the act. And so that's where it has to be checked. That's where we need the spiritual weapons to check those imaginations and casting down every imagination. And anything that would exalt itself against the law of God, that would put me in opposition to what God hath said, bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. If that thought that you have doesn't measure up and match what Jesus would have you to be or to do, then get rid of it. Don't play with it. Don't flirt with it, because it can bring you into damnation. So, the weapons of our warfare, we need the spiritual weapons to fight the spiritual warfare. We may walk in the flesh, but that isn't where the real war takes place. It takes place in my mind, the spiritual battle for the control of my mind. And if I have the mind of the flesh, then I'm going to reap corruption. But if I have the mind of the Spirit, then I'm going to reap life and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. But the battle is for the mind, and Satan is trying to captivate your mind. And look at the tools that he has today to captivate your mind and to plant things into your mind that would take you away from the Lord. Look at the abundance and the availability of pornography today. Satan is working overtime to bring out things to capture your mind and to cause these fantasies to start going. And you've got to stand in the strength and in the power of the Holy Spirit against these onslaughts of the enemy, or else you will find yourself brought into captivity, into the bondage of your flesh. My heart goes out to you. It's not easy to live the right kind of life today, because every ungodly pressure in the world is against you. And you cannot in your flesh maintain a spiritual experience. You must take and use everything God has made available for you if you're going to stand in these days. And that's how Paul concludes this little talk in Ephesus to the Ephesians on the same subject. He said, "Stand ye therefore, and having done all, stand." And God knows, sometimes that's about all we can do. I mean, after Satan has been through and the battering and the blasting, just the fact that I'm still standing, man, All right, you know, thank God. It's only by the grace of God that I'm standing. Because surely Satan is out to destroy you and to pull you down. And having then in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul is again referring to those in Ephesus, in whom he plans to, if they do not change, bring revenge upon their disobedience. Now, do you look on things after the outward appearance? And this is where they were making fun of Paul's outward appearance. You know, he's weak and contemptible in his presence. His speech is contemptible. Paul said, do you look on the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So these people who were saying, well, we're really of the Lord. Paul says, wait a minute, I'm also of the Lord. Oh, we have the mind of Christ. Paul said, we also have the mind of Christ. Well, we have received a revelation. Paul said, I've received a revelation. So these people, they say they're of Christ, but just put this down. We also are of Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given to us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Now, Paul's authority was given to him of the Lord to build up the body of Christ. And so be careful. You see, when a person is speaking authoritatively and is using that to tear down the body of Christ, then that's a dangerous thing, to destroy. Paul said, my gift wasn't given to me to destroy, but to build up. If I have the anointing of God's Spirit and the word of the Lord in my heart, that word was given to me to build up the body of Christ. These people are going around trying to destroy or to tear down the body of Christ.
Every year, Pastor Chuck Smith delivered a powerful prophecy update, helping Christians everywhere stay informed, stay grounded, and stay ready to give an answer about what the Bible says concerning the future. And today, we want to equip you with those same life-changing insights. Dive deep into biblical prophecy with Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Revelation, a clear verse-by-verse guide through one of the most important books for understanding the end times. Or explore our collection of powerful teaching DVDs covering Israel, the rapture, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the last days. These resources will strengthen your faith, sharpen your understanding, and help you explain the hope you have in Christ to anyone who asks. Now's the time to get informed, stay watchful, and be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ. For more information on biblical prophecy resources, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit twft.com. The Word for Today, understanding prophecy so you can live with hope. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you this week. May the Lord bless you. May He fill you with His love, with His Spirit, with His grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the Spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as He walked. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 10. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.